Rabbi Hochbaum forgot to mention my most important claim to fame. We were chavrusas in the summer of 1981 in Rosh HaKolel. So that's what I really pride myself on.
I didn't want to bring you down, Rabbi.
Little shout out for the blood top. I want to focus on today's shiur on three words. There are three words that no doubt everybody here knows and everybody says at least twice a day. But we may have never stopped to actually think what the significance of these words are. L'avdo b'chol levavchem. Literally translated to mean to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with all of our hearts. That phrase in and of itself is a very difficult phrase to understand. L'avdo b'chol levavchem. What exactly does that mean to be Oved Hashem? Does that mean to learn Torah? Does it mean to do mitzvahs? Does it mean a little bit of both? Does it mean perhaps something else? B'chol levavchem, with my entire heart. How exactly do I go about doing that? So I'd like to try to spend a little bit of time this morning learning through the sugya of the b'chol levavchem, focusing both on the halachic dimensions of the sugya and in the realm of machshava, in the realm of thought, and perhaps a little bit of a better understanding as to how we can incorporate these three most critical words into our daily routine. Ulav da b'chol levavchem, Chazal in Maseches Tainis, on Daf Beis comment, Eizu hi avoda shebelev. What is considered to be a service of the heart? The term avoda, to serve, actually the term avoda is usually used in the context of the Beis HaMikdash to offer karbonos. Clearly that is not ulav da b'chol levavchem, because karbonos are not brought with one's heart, there is an action, one serves in the Beis HaMikdash with one's hand, with one's body. So what possibly can be the avodah shebelev that the Torah is referring to? Chazal say, Ezo avodah shebelev, and the omezo tefillah. This is referring to davening, to tefillah, which is something which ultimately emanates from one's heart. Now, even though it is true that one has to pronounce the words, to verbalize, to express the words with one's mouth, nevertheless, Chazal saw that the expression of one's lips is merely an expression of what is really going on internally in one's heart, one's soul, one's mind. What exactly does that mean that we are obligated to be mispalo, to daven? What exactly is the chi of tefillah that the Torah is referring to? So here there is a major machlokas, a major controversy between the Rishonim as to how to understand precisely what we are supposed to be doing every day in terms of tefillah. The Rambam has a comment, many of you had a chance to see it in the Mar Makomos. The Rambam, beginning of Echos Tefillah, takes this Gemara in a literal sense, that one is obligated to be mispalo, one is obligated to daven, every single day. There's a chi of gomor min ha-Torah, an absolute Torah obligation, just as there is a Torah obligation to say Kriya Shema every day, and there is a Torah obligation to put on tefillin, at least on weekdays. There is a Torah obligation to be Oved as Hashem, b'chol lev. Each and every day one is obligated to daven. If I would ask you, what exactly does that mean to be mispalel every day? Does that mean opening up the siddur and davening Sukkah Dezimra, Shmon Esrei, Tachron? What exactly do the words mean that one is obligated to be mispalel every day? So here the Rambam tells us that min haTorah, there is no text of tefillah. There is no text of tefillah. There is no time of tefillah. There is no context of tefillah. There is no place of tefillah. Min haTorah, do you know what tefillah means, according to the Rambam? Ulavdu b'chol levavchem means speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Something's on your mind, find some time during the course of the day to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ask the HaKadosh Baruch Hu whether it's the final, you're afraid you may come to be failing, whether you're having some trouble at work, whether, Rachman al-Itzlan, somebody is sick, you have a need, you have something, just talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Find something every single day, says the Rambam. That's the mitzvah of tefillah. Do you have to be mispalel a specific text at a specific time? No. But wait a second. We know that the Mishnayos and Maseches Brachos speak about a very specific text, a very specific time frame, Shachris, Mincha, and Ma'ariv. We're all familiar with the Siddur, that we can't just get up in the morning and just talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu just like that. Says the Rambam, mid the Rabbanon, the Chachamim instituted, that we want to keep tefillah universal. We want everybody to be able to be davening pretty much the same way, and it's difficult to leave tefillah up to each and every person, even though it's true in a sense in a perfect world. If everybody would be able to compose their own short personal tefillahs that would be sufficient. But the Rabbanan, the Chachamim were concerned that probably not going to work all that well. And therefore, the Rabbanan, they instituted 3 times a day, a very specific text. Why don't you try to daven in a minyan, etc. All of the details that we know that make up Hilchos Tefillah today, says the Rambam, were instituted by the Chachamim. Now, lest you think that this is something that was stored up fairly recently, this is one of the old Takanas Chachamim's going back to the days of Ezra, back to the beginning of Vayesheni. You're talking about over 2,500 years ago, approximately. This is when the tefillah became formalized in the sense that we have it today. But min haTorah, the mitzvah of tefillah, says the Rambam, it's really sufficient just to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in your own time, your own place, your own way, your own text, your own terms. That is the mitzvah of tefillah midaraisa, according to the Shittas Rambam. This idea that sometimes we have a mitzvah, that min haTorah doesn't have really a set form. One has to perform this mitzvah min haTorah, but there is no set text for the form, for the mitzvah, and therefore at a later point, the Chachamim, in a sense, crystallized and formalized it into a text that we're familiar with today. So this is a common theme. We have this for other mitzvahs as well. We have this just as an example, the mitzvah of Kiddush. The Torah says, Zocher Shem Shabbos Lekadsho, you have to mention the sanctity of Shabbos. There is no specific words to use. There is no specific bracha to say. Min haTorah, as long as one speaks about the Kiddush of Shabbos, that is sufficient. In fact, there are some who even wanted to suggest, from the Kivega suggests, that maybe by saying the words Good Shabbos, maybe you actually fulfill the mitzvah in haTorah of Zochas Yom HaShabbos Sakacho. Nevertheless, the Rabbanan, the Chachamim, formalized the mitzvah of Kiddush, as we of course have today, once again was done in the days of Ezra, the beginning of Vayesheni. So the idea that you can have a mitzvah in haTorah that doesn't have a specific form to it, and the Rabbanan, it has a very specific form, this is the Rambam's understanding of the mitzvah of Tefillah as well. Notwithstanding the view of the Rambam, the Ramban disagrees with the Rambam. And the Ramban argues that the mitzvah of tefillah, albeit can sometimes be a mitzvah min haTorah, it is not a daily mitzvah. It is not a mitzvah, for example, like Kriya Shema, that one has to perform actually twice daily. It is not a mitzvah like tefillin, that one has to perform once a day. Rather, argues the Ramban, tefillah min haTorah is a mitzvah that only applies under very unique circumstances. What are those unique circumstances? So the Ramban seems to present, in 2 different places, 2 different types of events that occur that in effect obligate us to daven to be mispalo min haTorah. The first, the Ramban says, is what's called an eis tzara. If there's a very, very specific need, I guess going back to an individual who's about to take that test and really feels the eis tzara shebo, the person who has a specific request of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not necessarily on a daily basis, and says the Ramban, that is tefillah min haTorah. Then the Ramban has a different comment in Sefer HaMitzvos, where the Ramban seems to take a view of a different kind of a tefillah min haTorah. The Ramban is addressing the issue of reciting Hallel, of praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not so much asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not so much requesting from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but thanking and praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu for something that has in fact taken place. The Ramban also seems to take the view that that can also be a mitzvah min haTorah. Not a daily praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but a more of a an event-oriented praise. When something special, something unique happens, and there's a very great need to, in a sense, praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that may fall under the category of being a mitzvah min haTorah. What is the basis of this Ramban? What is the basis of this idea of La'avdo b'chalavavchem, in a sense, to take it out of the daily obligation like the Rambam has it, and to put it more in terms of, in a sense, special occasions? So the Ramban himself alludes to Psukim in Parshas Va'aloscha. I hope everybody got a little bit of a chance perhaps to see. The Psukim in Parshas Va'aloscha speak about the mitzvah of Tekiyas Chatzotzros, the blowing of the silver trumpets, the Zman Shabbos HaMikdash HaYakayim. And the Torah describes a whole series of different occasions that one blows these trumpets. One blows them during the course of the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, the offering of Karbanos. But then there are 2 other special events that occur that the Torah highlights an obligation to blow these trumpets. One of them is B'Shas Milchama, in a time of war, or not only war, but any type of a potential national crisis. And the second is when you have a very special celebration, such as Yom Tovim, or according to some, when you build the Beis HaMikdash, when you have something very, very special that's going on, that you want to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu for, there's also a mitzvah of Tkiyas Chatzeltos, blowing these silver trumpets. What in the world do these trumpets have to do with tefillah? We're talking about the mitzvah of davening. Why are we confusing the issue with blowing of trumpets? So the answer is, the Gemara tells us in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, that this mitzvah of Tkiyas Chatzeltos is linked to another mitzvah that we're, of course, much more familiar with, and that is the mitzvah of Tkiyas Shofar. In fact, the Gemara learns many of the details concerning how one performs the mitzvah of Shofar from the blowing of these silver trumpets. If I were to ask you, this mitzvah of Tkiyas Shofar, how is this mitzvah radically different from just about any other mitzvah that we perform? And the answer is a very strange phenomenon that we find about Tkiyas Shofar. Most mitzvahs that we perform are not done in the context of davening per se. In the following sense, there's a mitzvah of eating matzah at the Seder. Nobody sits down in the middle of Ma'ariv in Shul and begins to eat his matzah. You finish davening, you go home from Shul, you go home and you do your mitzvah. Or there's a mitzvah of sitting in the sukkah. You don't stop in the middle of Shmon Esrei and all of a sudden go out to the sukkah and eat your kezayis. Tefillah l'chud or mitzvah l'chud. Tkiyas Shofar is a very strange mitzvah, that we perform the mitzvah of Tkiyas Shofar, not just in Shul, but we perform the mitzvah of Tkiyas Shofar in the middle of the Shmon Esrei itself. Even Kriyas HaMegillah that we do in Shul as a tzibur, we don't do it in the middle of davening. It's not literally in the middle of Shmon Esrei. Tkiyas Shofar is such a bizarre mitzvah that all of a sudden we're in the middle of Shmon Esrei and we start to blow. Now many of you may be familiar, there are actually two different customs between Nisach Ashkenaz and Nisach Sfar as precisely when we do blow the shofar in the middle of Shmon Esrei. According to Nisach Sfar, we actually blow the shofar in the middle of the silent Shmon Esrei. And even those who follow Nisach Ashkenaz and do not blow during the silent Shmon Esrei, but in Chazor HaShatz, the Chazan is getting up to daven, and he's saying, Baruch Hashem, Melech Kol Ors, Bekadesh, Yisroel, V'yom HaZikaron, and all of a sudden, what do you know? A mitzvah of Tkiyas Shofar. A very strange thing, since when do we perform mitzvahs right smack in the middle of tefillah, in the middle of Shmon Esrei? So Rabbi Soloveitchik suggested that you see from this very practice that Tkiyas Shofar is not just a mitzvah. Tkiyas Shofar is a form of tefillah. Tkiyas Shofar is a way that we reach out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sometimes we dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu with words, and sometimes we dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu with sounds. If Chazal described Shofar and Chatzotros in one breath, so then the same can be said for the Tkiyas Chatzotros. Tkiyas Chatzotros is a form of tefillah. It is not just a mitzvah to blow a shofar, to blow a chatzotros, to blow a silver trumpet and call it a day. There's a reason for the blowing of the chatzotros. As the Torah itself says explicitly, the blowing of the chatzotros are a way of reminding, so to speak, HaKadosh Baruch Hu about us. They're a way of our speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, albeit without words. The blowing of the shofar is an example of a tefillah, par excellence tefillah. As such, now the Ramban makes a lot of sense. The Ramban tells us that the mitzvah of tefillah min HaTorah is not a daily occurrence like the Rambam. It's not that you wake up every morning and think of something to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu about. No. Min HaTorah, you do not have to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu every day. But the Rabbanon, there are three tefillah, Shachas Min Chamayim, that's all true. But Min HaTorah, you do not have to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu all the time. However, argues the Ramban, there are certain times during the course of your life, as individuals and as a nation, where there is a need to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And they're really broken down into two different categories. And then these are the categories of the Chatzotros. The category of milchama of war, not only literally war, but any type of crisis necessitates speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the second is a time of thanksgiving, a time of thanking, a time of rejoicing, of Yom Tov, Beis HaMikdash, etc., which also warrants a special conversation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. According to the Rambam, tefillah is a day-in and day-out occurrence. According to the Ramban, tefillah min HaTorah is primarily reserved for special occasions. Min HaRabbanon is an obligation to daven at all times, but min HaTorah, the obligation of tefillah, is for those unique times in one's life, either the time of a tzara, the time of great need of distress, or the time of great rejoicing, the time of Shas Simcha. So two very different models, min HaTorah, for what tefillah is all about. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach suggests that even according to the view of the Ramban, that tefillah is not technically required on a daily basis, what that means in a halachic framework is as follows. There is a difference in halacha between what we call a mitzvah chiyuvis and a mitzvah kiyumis. There are obligatory mitzvahs, and then there are voluntary mitzvahs. Sometimes the Torah tells us that you must do such and such. If you do it, you perform a mitzvah, and if you don't, it's considered to be an effect in Aveira. A person is required to put on tefillin every day. It's not just a voluntary thing. If I'm in a good mood, I'll put it on. If not, not. I'm obligated to shake a lulav on Sukkos. I'm obligated to hear the shofar in Rosh Hashanah. There are certain mitzvahs that are mitzvahs chiyuvis. Then there are other mitzvahs that are what we call an halacha mitzvah kiyumis. They are considered to be, in a sense, a voluntary mitzvah. If I choose not to do it, so it's not technically considered to be that I did something wrong, but I lost the opportunity to gain a mitzvah. I'm not obligated, but I should do it, I should try to do it, and the more I do it, the greater mitzvah it is. For example, we know there's a mitzvah to eat matzah at the Seder. After the first night of Pesach, technically speaking, there is no obligation to eat matzah. What does that mean? It means I shouldn't go ahead and eat matzah during the rest of the week. Obviously, I'm not going to be eating chametz. So says the Vilna Gaon, that even though there's no mitzvah chiyuvis to eat matzah, it's not an obligation, but it is a mitzvah kiyumis. It is a proper thing to do. And the more matzah that I eat, the greater mitzvah that I perform. Says of Shlomo Zalman, the same can be said about the mitzvah of tefillah. According to the Ramban, one is not technically obligated to daven every day. The chi of tefillah is only the eis tzara, but the kiyum tefillah, every time I speak to a Kaddish Baruch Hu, says of Shlomo Zalman, of course that's a mitzvah. Of course that's something that a Kaddish Baruch Hu wants. Of course that's what we're supposed to try to do. Can I say that the person who didn't daven was mefatil, a mitzvah min haTorah? According to the Rambam, I could say that, but according to the Ramban, that would not be correct. So both according to the Rambam and the Ramban, we definitely want to encourage tefillah, either as an absolute chiyuv min haTorah, or at least as a kiyum min haTorah, an absolute chiyuv min derabbanan, no question about it, three times a day. So one is for sure should be focusing on tefillah. What the nature precisely is min haTorah is subject to this somewhat of a machlekes harishonim. However, this idea that we're suggesting that there are really different modes of tefillah. There's tefillah of eis tzara, of crisis. There's tefillah of simcha, of hallel, of praising, of thanksgiving, thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then there's somewhere in the middle, the Rambam's view of tefillah, which is really linked neither to crisis nor to thanksgiving, but just kind of as a daily event, day in and day out. These three different modes of tefillah seem to be reflected in the three models of tefillah that we find way, way back in Sefer Bereishis. A famous Gemara in Maseches Brachos, I think I put it on the Maamar Kamos as well, where Chazal tell us that there were three of us that we had, and three forefathers, and each one instituted a different tefillah. Avram tikein tefillah shachris, Yitzhak tikein tefillah smincha, Yachad tikein tefillah smayrev. Each one of the tefillahs was instituted by a different av. And if you think about it a little bit, you realize that this is not just a historical statement. This particular av, he picked on Shacharis, he picked on Minch, he picked on Mayrim, but there's something much more profound, something much more basic that Chazal is describing to us. If we look at the personality, lifetime, events of Avram, of Yitzchak, and Yaakov, we get a very, very different picture of the three different challenges, that different events that each one of these of us had to deal with. If you look to the life of Avram, so for Avram, for the most part, things were going pretty well. Avram was fairly successful. He was successful financially. The Torah draws our attention to this very clearly. He was successful in terms of his dealing with the outside world. He was highly respected by the non-Jewish neighbors. The Bnei Ches, they put him up on a pedestal, called him Nasi Elokim. He was the prince of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Said he was victorious in his battles against the kings, and even Melech Sodom, in a sense, bowed down to him. And wherever he went, so Avram had a lot of friends. He had a lot of respect, he had a lot of friends. The sun was shining on Avram as an individual. However, if we skip for a moment down to the third of the Avos, to Yaakov, things were not as cheery. Things were rather gloomy in the lifetime of Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov seems to go from one near disaster to the next. from running away from his brother, to getting swindled by his father-in-law, to having to go once again meet his brother. He has to deal with Dina, and then he has to deal, of course, with Yosef, and almost a terrible potential tragedy that almost happened with Binyamin. And then finally, things settle down a little bit with Yaakov. But I think that Chazal really summed it up by saying, Bikish Yaakov Leisha B'Shalva. Yaakov really just wanted to relax a little bit, really wanted just to be comfortable, take a step back, kind of catch his breath, and his life just didn't work out that way. Avraham, on the one hand, not only Bikish Leisha B'Shalva, he was Yoshi B'Shalva. For the most part, things were going pretty well for Avraham. For the most part, things were going not all that well for Yaakov. And it's not surprising that the two tefillahs that we find, that Avraham was Misake and Yaakov was Misake, corresponds to each one of the challenges, each one of the life mission of each of these avos. Avraham is tikkun tefillah shachris. Shachris is a tefillah that we recite when you wake up in the morning, the sun is shining, assuming that you daven it after dates, the sun is shining, it's a happy day, you feel good about yourself, hopefully if you went to sleep at a half decent time the night before, you feel invigorated, you're ready to go, you're ready to start off the day, you feel like you have everything in front of you. That's the tefillah of Avraham, that's the tefillah shachris, because that really was the life of Avraham, the sun was shining. Yaakov is a very, very different tefillah. Yaakov has tzoras, he has issues, he has problems, conflicts, no matter where he turns. It's the end of the day, he's exhausted, it is dark, it is cold, it is gloomy. That is the tefillah of Yaakov. Avraham was Misake, the tefillah of Chatzotros of Simcha. The Hallel, Hodoya, the thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the inspiration, the times of joy. That's the tefillah of Shacharis. That's Avraham Avinu's tefillah. Yaakov's tefillah is the tefillah of Milchama. Yaakov is the one who prepares for war, literally and figuratively. He is the one who's battling his brother and battling a loved one and battling the social ace. Wherever he's going, he's in battle. That is the tefillah. It's Arvis, it's night, it's dark, it's gloomy. Avraham teaches us that we have to serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu, we have to talk to a Kadosh Baruch Hu at times of joy. And Yaakov teaches us that we have to talk to a Kadosh Baruch Hu at times of stress, and times of potential near disaster. And where does Yitzchak fit into the picture? So if you think about Yitzchak, what kind of a life did Yitzchak have? So you go through the Psukim in Bereishis, and you know what you find out about Yitzchak? For the most part, not all that much. If you just go simply through the parashas and say for Bereishis, there is a lot about Avraham, all the parashas Lech Lecha, all the parashas Vayera, parts of parashas Chayisara. Then Yaakov gets half of Todos and Vayetze, Vayishlach, and then as part of the Yosef saga, Avraham gets his time in Sefer Bereishis, Yaakov gets his time in Sefer Bereishis, and Yitzchak, almost nothing. Just about very, very small snips, not even the whole of parashas Todos. Why is it? What was it about the life of Yitzchak that we don't hear all that much? And I think that the answer is because Yitzchak's life, and I don't mean Yitzchak as a person, but I'm saying the events that he had to face were not all that extraordinary. There was no great events of Avraham, short of the Akedah that the Torah speaks about. There was no grandiose fighting with Malchei Sdom and then Kedal Omer. You didn't have that in the days of Yitzchak. You didn't have these major conflicts with his brothers, with Esav, with running away from Laban, a whole story. You didn't have that for Yitzchak. You know what Yitzchak was? Yitzchak was day in, day out of Avodas Hashem. It was a simple daily routine of serving a Kadosh Baruch Hu without the fanfare, without the great near disasters, without the grandiose triumphs. That was, for the most part, the life of Yitzchak. And that, for the most part, is Tfilos Mincha. If you think about the three tefillos that we have each day, we started out with Shacharis is the time of Simcha, the time of great joy, the time when the sun is shining. And Ma'ariv is a time when we are frightened, when we are scared. And just think for a moment when you daven Mincha. I think that most people in the work world will definitely appreciate this. When do you daven Mincha? Whenever you're able to grab those 5 minutes in between, there's a Mincha meeting in the office at 2 o'clock, you run there. Or even in school, it's kind of very often in between classes. That's when Mincha is routine. Mincha is, there's nothing special going on at Mincha. There's no great awakening in the morning, and there's no great fear of going to sleep. It's just part of our regular day, davening Mincha. And I think there's a powerful message in Tefillah's Mincha, of Yitzchak Avinu's Tefillah, Tefillas Mincha, I think is the Rambam's tefillah. Tefillas Mincha is la'avdu b'chalavavchem b'chol yom v'yom. Not at a time when you have anything tremendous to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for se. Not at a time when you have any tremendous thing to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for. Just talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Between classes, between business deals, between patients, you have a few moments, just speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Express yourself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as part of your daily routine. That is Tefillas Mincha. So I think that all three models of Tefillah, both the Rambam's model, as well as the two parts of the Ramban's model, are very much expressed in our daily tefillos, and really have their roots all the way back to the Avos, to the very beginning, to those first tefillos of Avram Tikkun Shachris, Yitzchak Tikkun Mincha, and Yaakov Tikkun Arvis. I think there is another important message in the terms of La'avdo B'chol Levavchem, the way the Torah formulates this mitzvah, something that I think that we can take home, not only in terms of our actual tefillah, but in a certain sense, something which really affects our entire Avodas Hashem. Chazal speak about, and it's hard for us to understand from the mystical point of view, the Kabbalah, we're not going to go that route at all, but just try to extract a little bit, Pshutam Shalat Dvarim. Chazal speak about two parts of Torah. They speak about the original Sefer Torah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as being an Eish Chora al Gabi Eish Levana. It was a black fire on a background of a white fire. Now again, far be it from me to have even an inkling of what precisely this is all about, but Torah Hi Lamda Nitzrich, we have to try to understand it each and on our own level. An Eish Chora al Gabi Eish Levana. It was a black fire on a white fire. And the truth is that a black fire on a white fire, although clearly, definitely something very spiritual, is something that we can relate to, because that's really what our Sefer Torah looks like also. It's shchachar agabi lavan. It's black. The ink, the letters of the Sefer Torah, are on a white background, on a cloth. So we can relate to that moshel, to that model of eshchor agabi shlavana. The question is, what is this all about? What is the difference between the eshchorah, clearly symbolizing the letters, and the eshlavana, the background, the parchment? I think perhaps, on a certain level, what Chazal are trying to express us is something which is so fundamental, it really gets to the very source of all of our Avodas Hashem in this world. The Eish Chorah, the letters of a Sefer Torah, are very exact. They have to be written precisely, and there are very specific halachos and traditions that we have that govern the writing of the letters. And we know that if a letter is off by a little bit, it can potentially be puzzled, and every Sefer Torah is precisely the same. There are different minhagim in terms of certain nuances of shaping certain letters, but basically, fundamentally, the Alephs are the same, the Beis are the same, from Breishis to Reinikol Yisrael, every Sefer Torah is exactly the same. That's the Eish Chorah. Everyone's the same. The Eish Levana is the cloth. The cloth, there is nothing written on the cloth. There is nothing there. Because what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was trying to tell us is that in between the letters which are exact, which are governed by the world of Halacha, there is room for a certain degree of individuality. What is on my cloth is not necessarily on your cloth. Each person has to fill in the cloth with their own personality. We are not the same. We're not all models of cookie cutters of one another. Each person is different. The Kadosh Baruch Hu created us with different talents, different abilities. And each of us has to use the Eish Levana to fill in the gaps, to fill in those blind spaces, being able to come closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu in our own way. Now, there's a great danger of taking this idea, unfortunately, to an incorrect conclusion. When I say that we have to use a certain degree of creativity and a certain degree of individuality in Avodas Hashem, that does never ever means to compromise the Eish Chorah. That never means that therefore we have a right to say, well, this particular part of the Torah doesn't speak to me. Well, this halacha, this doesn't sit with my understanding. This does not the way I find myself getting close to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. No, the Eish Chorah is the same. The words of the Torah are identical for each and every Jew. The Eish Levana, each person comes to it in a little bit of a different way. There's a fascinating insight that is given in the Psukim, read on Chanukah, and read in Pashas Naso, about the Nesiim. Each one of the princes brought karbanos, and if you look at the karbanos, they were exactly the same. That's why it's a long, long lady on that last day of Chanukah. Exact same karbanos brought by everybody. Yet the Medrash tells us, when the Nasi of Ruvrei brought his karban, he had something totally different in mind than the Nasi of Shimon. The Nasi of Yehuda. Each Nasi brought the same korban, yet they brought it with a very, very different mindset, because people are different. Each person has to bring their own individual traits and talents to the Beis HaMikdash. The Eish Korah, Agabi Eish Tovan, I think, is trying to get across us this message, that we have to have both in our Avodas Hashem. We have to have the Eish Korah, we have to have the absolute commitment to the Shmir, Satorah, Ramitzvahs, every Diktok, every Sifkot, the Mishmur, the same way it was Nimsalot, it was handed over to us, Ish B'Piyish and Moshe Rabbeinu, and the Diktok, the Halacha, the way we observe the Mitzvahs, so we observe Shabbos the same way it was observed back to Moshe Rabbeinu, we put on the same film of Moshe Rabbeinu, every Mitzvah that we do is done precisely the same as has been done for Dorei Doros, but each person brings their own emotions, and each generation brings their own feelings, and different contexts, and the way that a person who has a certain upbringing comes close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu may not necessarily work for somebody else in a different carbon place, and that's perfectly okay. As long as the Eish Chorah is identical, then as long as the Eish Lavana is within the realm of Amasorah, within the realm of a proper Torah approach, then when we encourage that a person should bring their own personal traits, their own personal talents into the Avodas Hashem, the Eish Chorah of Eish Lavana. And I think that this is what ultimately the Psukim L'Ovdu B'Chol Avavchem are highlighting for us when we speak about Tefillah. Because when we come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so we really come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in two different ways. We come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Ovdu, and we come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Chol Avavchem, B'Chol Avavchem. An Eved, a servant, does not make up their own rules. A servant gets a list of what to do, and that's what he does. He's an Eved to the Adam. The Eved's job is not to come with creativity. The Eved's job is not to come with his own personality. The Eved is someone who is Ose Ritzon Adono. He is the one who does the will of his master. And we come to Kadosh Baruch Hu in our davening as an Eved, Ula Avdo. We come to Kadosh Baruch Hu, we say, Kadosh Baruch Hu, I'm going to say the same Baruch Atah Hashem as has been said for thousands of years, the same as my neighbor, the same Baruch Atah Hashem as is said by a young man growing up in New Jersey, in Tavshin Ayin Dalet, is the same Baruch Atah Hashem that was said 500 years ago in Poland, or 500 years ago in Yemen. It's the same Baruch Atah Hashem. We come to Kadosh Baruch Hu in the world of our tefillahs as Avodim L'Avdim. But at the same time, there is room for B'chol Levavchem. Because let's not forget that the original model of tefillah, according to the Rambam, was each person on their own. Each person who wanted to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in their own language, so to speak, speaks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in their own terms, and speaks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for their own needs and their own expressions. That's also an important part of tefillah, B'chol Levavchem. We should never make light of the B'chol Levavchem part. Very often, you know, we become, and importantly so, we medaftek in Hilchos Tefillah, and we make sure to say all the words, it's all important, and it's critical, and it's crucial to be makbid on the Avdo part. But we have to also sometimes work on B'chol Levavchem as well, B'chol Levavchem. What can we do in order to help us that the tefillah becomes more meaningful for us? Obviously, this is within certain framework, within certain parameters, within the parameters of Amasorah itself, but even within Amasorah, there's a lot of room for B'chol Levavchem. Whether, as Chazal instituted, the idea of, under certain circumstances, of actually putting in one's own private bakashos, one's own private requests into different parts of the Shemoneh Esrei, or whether finding parts of the tefillah that are especially meaningful for each individual, whatever we can do to enhance that tefillah experience, to keep it that perfect balance of Avdo on the one hand and B'chol Levavchem on the other hand, would really be a wonderful endeavor in terms of being able to enrich our tefillahs. So the tefillah experience of Avdo B'chol Levavchem is something which is so basic and so fundamental. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put it into the words of Kriya Shema. We say it twice a day. We have it on our arms and on our heads. Each and every day we put on our tefillin. We kiss the mezuzah, we touch the mezuzah, and we refer to those words countless times during the course of the day. It's something that we have to think about how we use the model of tefillah as ways of coming a little bit closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Whether we come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when we want to say thank you, whether it comes close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when we want to say please, or whether it's we will come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu just when we want to talk day in and day out. And hopefully we can use the tefillah model to be able to serve as a way to enhance our entire Avodas Hashem, to be able to get that perfect balance of the Avdo, the Chol Levavchem.
Thank you.
you, Rabbi Sawalowski, very much. Really a very, very moving and very, very enjoyable presentation. Very meaningful for all of us. Rabosa, it's been a wonderful, wonderful day together. I want to thank all those who are involved in help organizing, particularly Rabbi Rich, for doing such a great job in getting everything together. At 12:20, we're going to make a mincha. For those who are interested in staying for mincha across the hall in the base medrash, we'll daven mincha at 12:20 is the earliest man today. In the meantime, enjoy your afternoon off together with your families, and everyone have a great day. Thank you. Rabbi Newman, shut up. Thank you.